Track 30, Mary's role in formation for Maria Valtorta, her anticipatory role for Heaven's Angels, and her tears, joys, and love as our teacher and our queen.
On the 20th of November 1943, shortly after the death of her mother, and just 7 months after she began to receive her first dictations from Jesus, Maria Valtorta writes, "Yesterday morning I received the caresses of Mary Most Holy." Caresses, really, not just a manner of speaking. I was working and thinking of heaven, of course. I was telling myself that the day would be wonderful when I am up above, no longer an orphan, alone, or loved more or less as I am now. I received Our Lady's caresses on my head and cheeks. My tears were falling on the work I was doing as I thought of the condition I am in now, without relatives. I was asking for comfort, and comfort came in the form of caresses. It was not the strong, large hand of Jesus. It was a soft, light, maternal caress of a small, slight hand on my head and cheeks. An unmistakable touch, and the memory of it is my delight. Later this morning, towards dawn, while I was half asleep and was praying, I was saying the rosary, I exclaimed, "O Mother of Jesus, what can I do for you?" And she replied, "Love me. That's all." She said nothing else to me, but the way she said it, it is the first time I have heard the words of our Blessed Lady. And all day I have been thinking of that "love me," spoken so sweetly, as if by a mother bending over her daughter's crib and whispering in her hair, between one kiss and another, her dearest wish as a mother. Our Lady was needed to make me savour this, which I never had in my life as a daughter. What I experience cannot be described except by one word, ecstasy. 12 days later, Mary says to Maria, "You must not get too demoralized thinking about the time you had little love for me. You are not the only one, but I am the mother and I understand and forgive. I do not love any less because I am loved only a little. It is enough for me that you should at least love my son, and you loved him very much, when you still loved me only a little. I will have you observe an event in my life as the Mother of God, which escapes many, and which is a certain indication of the future relations between those redeemed by my Jesus and myself. When the shepherds came to the grotto, they had looks and expressions of love, only for my child. Joseph and I were secondary figures for them. It was enough for me that they should love my child, and love him very much. There would be so many who would hate him later. Only the saints knew me for what I was, and Elizabeth, Simeon, and Anna saw in me the mother of the Saviour, giving me the most sublime praise with their recognition. I am the virgin who waits. From my tenderest years I waited for the one awaited by the peoples. I am the co-redemptrix, awaiting the time to die at the foot of the cross to give you life. I am the mother awaiting your true love, not the superficial worship limiting itself to many words. To pray does not mean to say many prayers. It means to love. It means to make one's heart speak. I am the silent one, the new Eve, to teach you silence. From speech, seduction entered Eve. From my silence, redemption entered the world. Learn the virtue of silence from me. For in external silence, the heart speaks to God and God to the heart. My silence was not the inert silence of a dead soul. It was, rather, a most active spiritual working. I said the first Our Father in the cold grotto of Bethlehem, holding up in my arms my Lamb, who had come into the world to be slain and to give life to those slain in their souls. While weeping, I was the first to say Fiat Voluntas Tua. And do you know what it means for the mother to say these words to the Eternal? Now, when I see that, out of love for my Son, a creature carries out the divine will, which is above all a loving will, I cancel his debt to me and increase my love for him. Jesus then brings that person to me. I leave it to Jesus to take care of having me loved. Where he is, the Spirit of God is also present. And where the Spirit is, there is knowledge and light. It is thus inevitable that you should become instructed in love for me as well. When afterwards you arrive at loving me, then in truth I come, and my coming is always joy and salvation. The day after Christmas Day in 1943, Mary says to Maria, "To many, already carried off into the mystical heights, it was granted to see my Holy Son as an infant, and even to clasp him to their hearts. But it was granted to few to see me, while I offered his humanity the sweetest care a mother gives. Through the goodness of my Son I appeared to you, as the bearer of the living Eucharist, then as the mother of the Saviour, and later exalted in heaven. And after these silent visions of light and joy, which encircled you like heavenly nets and took you to me, I taught you. If your soul had rebelled against the sweet net out of spiritual heaviness, I would have left you. But you enwrapped yourself in it, making those visions your joy, your desire, and your stimulus towards what was better and better. And then, after showing you the Queen to console you without your mother any longer, I showed you the Mother to lift you up to my humility and to carry you off into my joy. I always come when it is the right time. I had always loved you, but I asked Jesus for you when I read in God's thought that soon you would no longer have a mother. He prepared the meeting and the union. May he be blessed for it. And I came. On Calvary, didn't I take on my mission as a mother spiritually and collectively? I love all of you, O orphans of the earth. And if only you so desire, I give you my arm for support, my shoulder to lean on, my breast to rest upon, and my heart to love you. Tell those who weep to believe in me, not only as a deified queen, but as a true woman for whom motherly tenderness is not unknown. Tell them to call me alongside their tears with the most beloved of names, the one I received from my Son from his childhood until his ascension into heaven and beyond, Mother. I will be the mother. 3 months later, Jesus tells Maria, Mother wanted you, and I gave you to her. Nay, I took you there, because I know that where I can bend with authority, she takes you with the caress of love, and she takes you there even better than I do. Her touch is a seal before which Satan runs away. If you are faithful, you will meditate on all the life of our mother, every day, on her joys and on her sorrows. That is, my joys and my sorrows. Because since I, the Word, became Jesus, I have rejoiced and wept with her for the same reasons. So you can see that to love Mary is to love Jesus. It is to love him more easily. I make you carry the cross, and I put you on the cross. Mother, instead, carries you or stands at the foot of the cross to receive you on her heart that can only love. Also, at the moment of death, Mary's bosom is more pleasant than a cradle. Whoever breathes his last in her hears no weeping, but sees her smile. He knows no terror. Of us who love her, who would dare tear from Mary's arms a creature of hers? Do not say thanks to me. Thank her. She wanted you to subdue under her foot what your goodwill did not succeed in subjugating. Remain at her feet, at the foot of the cross. You will adorn your garment with the rubies of my blood and with the pearls of her tears. You will have a queen's robe for your entrance into my kingdom. Go in peace. I bless you. Shortly afterwards, a very ill Maria Valtorta writes, My physical affliction is so great, suffocation, emphysema, and cardiac insufficiency are constantly increasing. Tonight I have gone right to life's limit with numerous extrasystoles and dropping to a pulse of 46 beats a minute. I no longer breathed and I was in a cold sweat, real agony. But Mother had said to me, Be at ease, and I felt I was in her arms. I had cuddled up in the nest of her lap, arms, mantle, and I was not afraid even of death. Blessed be you, my Mother Mary. You save me. Save me now and in the hour of my death. Mother, hold me in your lap, and I will be safe until the end. Jesus gives a personal message to Maria Valtorta. He says, Only my mother knew everything about me as regards my time as a son in Nazareth, as the Master and Redeemer, and as the glorious Risen One. Through both my word and my divine decision, Mary knew everything and partook of me, my moments of fatigue, sorrows, joys, and triumphs. Mary alone. The evangelists and apostles partially knew about this and that aspect of my life, and they did not know much. They knew very little about my mother. But you, my little Mary, my little John, you alone know all about me and Mary. You have lived through our lives, at our side. You have breathed the air of our house, of the houses of Joachim and then of Mary, of our Nazareth and of the whole Palestine. You have sniffed the smell of bread just baked by Mary, of the linen washed by her, of her virginal body and mine. You have smelled the scent of Mary Magdalene's balms and of Lazarus's putrescence, of the lamb and wine at the Paschal Supper, and of my blood shed in the Passion. You have counted our sighs and voices, and our looks, acts, lessons, and miracles. You know more than the great John, my worshipping crucified one. This is what I wanted to give you by virtue of your long suffering, perfect, complete knowledge of us, as saints and doctors did not possess it. But the times require an urgent response. Only a broad knowledge of me can save. And to the one who gave me all, I have given all, so that many, through your sacrifice, may have life. Rest on my heart, new John. Redden yourself with my blood. Weep over the agony of my mother, which bursts forth at last after the heroic suffering on Calvary. No one understands, only you, who have heard it and remember it, and who hear and see the voices, tears, and sobs. Make reparation for the sorrow of Mary, taken into consideration too little, and for the co-redemptrix with your understanding love. I ask you for this, for you to make reparation for the superficiality with which too many observe the passion of my mother. And in a separate dictation, Jesus says to Maria, O my little John, you are a seed pearl, born in the great sea of pain, but you are destined to become encrusted as a gem in the crown of the Son and the Mother. The more that pearls are formed in the sea depths and shaken by profound disturbances extending down to the seabed, the more beautiful they are. Without them, the heart of the oyster would not open, and the nucleus on which pain encrusts the gem would not be deposited in the wound. Tears, tears, Maria. What a thing tears are. They had only one degree less in value than my blood did. You are redeemed through the blood of Jesus and the tears of Mary. May peace be with you always. On the Feast of the Immaculate Conception in 1946, Maria's guardian angel, Azaria, says to Maria, The holy mass of this feast is entirely a hymn to the power of God and the glory of Mary. Let us introduce ourselves so as to understand rightly this liturgy of light and fire, into the sentiments of the Queen and Teacher of every creature who loves the Lord. Queen and Teacher, of men, but also of angels. It is granted to lift a veil so that some greatly beloved souls may enjoy it. With the obstacle removed, you will be permitted to fix your spiritual gaze on the infinite light which is heaven. And in the light you will understand better. Look, listen, and be blessed. When Lucifer's sin upset the order of paradise and swept the less faithful spirits into disorder, a great horror struck all, almost as if something had been lacerated, destroyed, and without hope of seeing it rise again. In reality, that was so. The complete charity that alone had existed up above before had been destroyed, and it had collapsed into an abyss from which there emerged the stench of hell. Bewildered, as it is possible to be in heaven, we, the ones faithful to the Lord, wept over God's pain and his indignation. We wept over the altered peace of paradise, over the order violated, over the fragility of the spirits. We no longer felt sure about being flawless because we were made of pure spirit. Lucifer and those like him had proven that even the angel can sin and become a demon. We felt that pride, existing latently, might develop in us. We feared that no one, except for God, could resist it if Lucifer had yielded to it. We trembled at these dark forces which we had thought could not invade us, of whose existence, I might say, we had been ignorant, and which were brutally revealing themselves to us. Discouraged, we wondered with throbs of light, but is being so pure of no use then? Who then can ever give God the love he demands and deserves, if even we are subject to sinning? It was then that, uplifting our contemplation from the abyss and desolation to the divinity, and gazing fixedly at his splendour with a fear previously unknown, we contemplated the second revelation of eternal thought. And if through the knowledge of the first there came disorder created by the proud, who did not want to adore the divine word, through the knowledge of the second, the peace which had been disturbed returned to us. We saw Mary in the eternal thought. Seeing her and possessing that wisdom, which is comfort, security and peace, was one and the same thing. We saluted our future queen with the song of our light. Oh, the beauty of that moment in which, for the comfort of his angels, the Eternal presented to them the jewel of his love and power. And we saw her, so humble as to make up by herself alone for all creaturely pride. From then on she was our teacher, in not turning gifts into an instrument of ruin. Not her corporeal effigy, but her spirituality spoke to us wordlessly, and we were preserved from every thought of pride by having contemplated for an instant in the thought of God, the Most Humble One. For ages and ages we worked in the sweetness of that radiant revelation. For ages and ages through eternity we have rejoiced and rejoice and shall rejoice in possessing her whom we contemplated spiritually. The joy of God is our joy, and we keep ourselves in his light so as to be penetrated with it and to give joy and glory to him who created us. In this final passage, Mary says to Maria Valtorta, having been made the Queen of the Heavens by the goodness of God, as the Queen I could concern myself with you, my beloved ones. And chosen as I was to sit at the right hand of God, I could speak, pray, and obtain graces directly for you with powerful entreaty. O my theology, it has only one key word, love. I am the Queen of the Heavens because I have understood this theology as no other creature has. Love, you will be saved. Love, love in words or in silence. Love in action or immobility. Love in fervour or in the suffering of aridity. Love in joy and in pain. Love in victory and in weakness. Love in temptation and in freedom from the enemy. Always love.